You are about to witness a revolution in high-performance technology. Its handling will astound you. Its power will take your breath away. But what makes this technology so revolutionary is what it runs on. Your imagination. Introducing Macintosh Quadra, the most powerful Macintosh ever.
The best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Join me today. He's the managing editor of Cult of Mac, but what you didn't know is, just like Buster, he's also been known to enjoy a good pair of short jean shorts when no one's looking, of course. Lewis Wallace is here.
That is a lie. A lie.
Don't pretend like you don't have them on under your pants at all times. That's what I heard. That's what I heard from Leander Caney.
I am not a never nude.
He outed you.
No,
you
told it's him not to
keep
true.
He told him to keep the secret, and
oh,
look what happens.
God.
Speaking of LK, so what's going on with him? Because he can't, as in true LK fashion, he canceled mere moments before we hit the record button. So what's going on with him?
I'm not sure that it's not the bubonic plague. I don't know. He's been coughing for 3 or 4 days. He's
really,
you know, basically lying in bed asleep. I mean, I talked to him. Well, I didn't even talk to him. I won't even talk to him on the phone because, you know, you might get infected.
He's that bad.
Yeah. I barely can tap something out in Slack, but he's like, yeah, you know, I haven't been able to sleep. I cough. And, oh, my God.
Oh, like, man. So it's serious.
I'm like, Leander, what? Have you considered getting a hold of the doctor?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, maybe I'll do that.
I hate going to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor. And now I finally get why people say that they don't like going to hospitals. They don't like going to the doctor. I don't like it anymore either. I'm like, unless I'm seriously ill, like I'm worried about dying, I just don't go.
Well, I like I said to him, man, just at least send him an email and, you know, just give him a call. See if, you know, maybe they'll give you some cough medicine with codeine or something so you don't, you know, crack all your ribs coughing all day.
But if you call them, they're going to make you come in. That's what they always do because they're worried about getting sued. So if you call them and you have anything going on that is not clearly inconsequential and not endangering them of getting sued, they're going to tell you to come in.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean?
I've had them, you know, email over a script for things, but maybe that's always
you
for.
You can email your doctor?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's wild.
Kaiser, man.
That's great. That's really handy, actually, because how many times are you just not really totally sure, and just being able to email them, that would be handy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can even like send them a picture of a mole and say, hey, what do you think? And of course, that's when they say, I'd like you to come in.
Can you imagine the pictures they get? I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know the pictures they're receiving.
Can't tell if that's a heat rash, chicken pox, or
that?
A bad tattoo.
What is that's going on with that bunghole? I don't know. Can you use the telephoto lens? I need to get a closer look.
Thank God for
you've HDR.
Been reported to the authorities.
No, my God, look at us. We're already pretty far off topic. Before I go on this small tangent, let's just say this episode, very exciting. We're going to talk about the most useful hidden iOS 13 features. I found some real gems. I was searching far and wide this week, and there is some really exciting stuff coming to iOS 13 that you probably haven't heard of, but we're going to talk about those. We're also going to talk about iPad OS and do a run-through of the most exciting features, at least the ones I thought were most exciting, and just talk about iPad OS in general, because we didn't really get to talk about it last show. We ran out of time. And at the end of the episode, we're going to do an all-new, very special under review where we tell you about the gadgets that we're currently reviewing, what we like, what we don't. We're going to bring on a very special guest for this segment, a surprise special guest who is going to also talk about a product that they're currently liking. So stay tuned for that. Before we dive into the Apple news, though, let me just continue with my small tangent here. I have a friend who is a nurse practitioner. And she does a lot of medicine via email, and she was telling me some of the pictures that she receives. It's truly horrendous stuff that I would never even want to talk about out loud because I don't want to scar you for life. But she says like 80% of the pictures she gets are of people's turds. Like people. So she works in tech, and she says, a lot of people in tech are really worried about their turds and their bowel movements and stuff. And so they're constantly contacting her, asking her about how regular they should be, if their turds are strange. And then, you know, the only way she can know is if they send them a picture of her turds. So she's just constantly getting turds via iMessage.
God. I don't know how far we want to go with this, but I actually went to an acupuncturist one time, and the first time I go there, they're like, oh, they asked me all these questions. And one of the things this woman asked me is like, well, do your fecal movements smell bad? And I'm like, are you kidding me? No, they smell like roses, lady. I just about walked out.
I find them quite pleasant, actually.
God.
Sometimes I go in for a second whiff. This is why only males listen to this show, by the way.
Oh my God.
We've just clearly,
I'm hoping you can cut this out in post.
No way, I'm leaving this part in. This is gold, solid gold. This is why only males listen to our show. Okay, let's see here. Before we dive into the Apple news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Netgear for supporting this episode. You upgrade your smartphone, your TV, your laptop, and when was the last time you upgraded your home Wi-Fi? The future of Wi-Fi is here. It's time to welcome Wi-Fi 6. The Netgear Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 router gives you ultra-fast speeds and wider coverage throughout your home. It's the biggest revolution in Wi-Fi ever. You get 4 times the capacity compared to today's Wi-Fi, which means you can connect more devices and stream simultaneously without impacting Wi-Fi and speed. Plus, if you're doing 4K streaming, I'm sure you're getting buffering, stuttering. Wi-Fi 6 is going to eliminate those kinds of problems, and plus you'll have way better coverage all throughout your home. So I got this new router from Netgear. This thing is insidious looking. It looks like the ship that... I'm sorry, I'm trying to read the box and talk at the same time. That Kylo Ren flies in the new Star Wars movies. It looks exactly like his spaceship. This is the Nighthawk AX8. This thing is beastly. I'm probably going to do a full review on the show of this at one point, but it offers 2 gigabit per second wired connectivity, 2 gigs per second wired. That's one of the fastest I've ever seen for any router. Let's see here. It has 5 Ethernet ports on the back. It has a quad-core 1.8 gigahertz processor. I mean, this thing, it offers Ethernet duplexing, so you can plug in a PC or a computer to 2 of the Ethernet ports at and have the Ethernet speeds dramatically increase because it takes advantage of both Ethernet ports at the same time. Let's see here. It can handle wireless speeds up to 6 gigabits per second.
Jeez.
It can handle 30 to 50 devices at one time. You can stream 4K and 8K. 8K with this router. Plus, it has dramatically broader coverage over your whole home. So this is a big deal, guys. And this router I'm looking at right now, the Nighthawk AX8, it's on Amazon right now for... let's see here, $328, and it has almost 6,000 customer reviews and has a 4.5-star rating. So these routers from Netgear, they're no joke. If you need to replace your Apple router, if your coverage in your home isn't as good as you would like it to be, if it's slow in some parts or you have dead spots, definitely go check out one of the new Wi-Fi 6 routers from Netgear. You can go to netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6, netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6 to read more. You can also go to Amazon and just read the reviews on Amazon because, you know, people are talking about what they like, what they don't like. But, you know, 4.5 stars out of 5 stars, you know, most people are loving these routers. They're absolutely insane. I love what Netgear has been doing with their routers. They're some of the best routers around. So netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. Oh, that reminds me. I was trying to do the URL last week with Leander, and I asked him to give me his best 6 rock scream, but he couldn't do it. And I said, you know who could do this, Leander? Lewis could do it. Can you give me a good rock 6, Lewis?
6.
You go 6.
Oh God!
Give it to me. I know you got it down deep inside.
I don't know, man. I feel a little rough right now.
Okay, just give your vocal cord a nice rub, and then give me the best one you got.
6.
Yeah,
it's about as good as I can do.
That was excellent. That was most excellent. I got the chills. That was like Van Halen level 6. Man, you got it. You could have been on stage with Van Halen. Did you know that?
I wish I could have.
Yeah.
You'd be bouncing around on one of those bouncy balls with David Lee Roth back in the day, man.
You could have been
those
David Lee Roth.
Those were the days. Man, I love that band.
Yeah, they were good. They were good. Okay, let's.
That's a badass looking router, too, by the way. I searched that. I have not seen that. That thing looks awesome.
I like my routers to look somewhat sinister and insidious. Yeah. I really do.
I've never seen one like that.
The more antennas, the better. I don't mind like the little sleek, slim, clean looking routers. I mean, I can appreciate those as well. In fact, I'm reviewing one right now that we'll probably talk about soon. But this thing, yeah, it's got antennas. It's got that swoop in it.
Yeah.
It just looks like something that would look good sitting, you know, on your shelf. Okay. More to come on the AX8. Let's see here. Let's talk about iOS 13, Lewis. We got some really cool hidden features here, and why don't you kick us off with this first one, because this looks super useful.
Yeah, this first one is it's basically an expansion of the method for letting you know when an app is tracking you. It's going to present a pop-up notification when an app is using your location in the background, and the notification is going to show a map of the location data that app has been compiling on you. In addition to the map, the notification also gives you the app creator's reasoning for needing background location access.
That's the part I love.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, the map is like, oh, look, it's my commute, right? That's what it looks like in the screenshots I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But anything they can do to surface more of like what's going on and why, that's awesome. Because sometimes you get this stuff and you're like, why would this need to do it? And sometimes it's a legitimate reason. Sometimes it's not.
Well, exactly. And it gives you such clear context of how you're being tracked. Because if they just give you data and they say, oh, well, you know, Grindr.app has been tracking your movements, is that okay? You may not really think very much of it. But if you see a map and the app is something that really shouldn't be tracking you, maybe people will give it a second thought and say, oh, yeah, maybe I don't need to be giving all my location data to this random app. And of course, there's the reason in there now, too. So in clear English, it tells you why it needs your location. This is the stuff that Apple does that I love, and no one does it better than Apple. And this is one of the themes, I think, of the last keynote for WWDC, is all the little features that they're building in to help you take control of your privacy and know what's going on in your digital life, right? Because you would never know this stuff. Like, you don't know how developers are using your location or even what information they're getting from you.
Yeah, and It looks like a very, I haven't tried this out, but it looks like a very, you know, straightforward and sleek way of surfacing that information that you
totally
probably never have otherwise.
Here. Okay. Hit me up with this next one, because this is probably my favorite one.
This is a cool one that, I mean, let's be honest, this is kind of parody with other mapping things. But in iOS 13, Apple Maps lets you share your live route ETA with a friend. So it's integrated right in the Apple Maps. You can share your journey status with personal contacts, and the feature is called Share ETA. What a straightforward name. Recipient receives the address of your destination and your expected arrival time. It also, that arrival time gets updated automatically as you're going along. It's like you get stuck in a traffic jam. It sends, lets them know, oh no, it's not going to be there at 3. It's going to be there at 3:15. You can also set it up to automatically share your ETA every time you're heading to a specific place, like on your way home, you know, so you can set it up. So, okay, anytime I'm leaving my office, sends, you know, your loved one a ETA about when you're going to get there. Or, you know, this would be great for like band practice in the Bay Area, because, you know, everybody has to rehearse and, you know, it's only 20 miles away, but it'll either take you a half an hour or 3 hours. I would love to have this, you know, if you know, the drummer puts his ETA in there and you're like, oh God, he got stuck in traffic and now he's not going to be here for an hour and a half. You can go down to the pub and have a beer. You don't have to just sit there and wait in the hot, stinky rehearsal room.
Dude, this is so useful. I created a shortcuts action that does something similar to this, but it's not dynamic. So it just sends, I can say, I'm not going to say it because my phone will actually start to do it. I can say, hey Siri, I'm going home. and it will run the shortcuts and it will send a map and my ETA calculated on my current location to specific people in my contacts list. So it's super useful, but you know, it doesn't, the ETA is just at that moment. It's a snapshot. But yeah, if you run into traffic, it could take you forever. This is so useful, especially the part where you could set it up automatically. So let's say you had kids and you wanted to know every time they were coming home or something, home from school, you would know exactly what's going on with them and to the minute exactly when they're going to walk into the door. I mean, if you were a really controlling spouse, this would be a great way to keep track of where your husband is late at night because he's always partying too late. And then he gets too sick to do the podcast, and that makes you really mad because you want him to be responsible. You know what I'm saying,
Lewis? That could never happen. Yeah, it might crack about this being parody. I mean, Waze does have a feature like this, but this actually sounds more advanced than that. So, yeah, it sounds great. I can't wait to try it out once I get it on my phone. I'm too scared to do it. I'm too scared to load the beta onto my phone.
I kind of am too. I feel guilty because we need to be using the betas, but
I know, it's pathetic.
They are so buggy right now. And I only have one iPhone. I'm not running around with multiple iPhones, and so I need it to work. And when you install the betas, it breaks so many of your apps that you just can't use it as your main phone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can't be without my phone. That's all. I can't have my phone not working. So other people on the team are running it, but
yeah,
I just listen to what they have to say. And usually what I hear is like, ah, it's so buggy.
That's what I keep hearing from people too. I'm like, let me know when it's stable.
Maybe I'll put it off for another day.
Yeah. Let me know when it's stable. I'll hop in there and take all the credit. Yeah. Okay. So next one, this one was very exciting. It's going to sound boring, but, for those of you who liked to get nitty gritty with your technology, you're probably really going to enjoy this. And for other people, this is going to have a relevant impact on your life too, but maybe not in so many obvious ways. So NFC, near field communication, is finally getting way more powerful in iOS 13. Thank Zeus on high. I've been waiting for this forever. In fact, well, I was going to go off into a tangent. I was thinking about buying an Android phone just so I could get better NFC support. And I have a specific reason that I'll talk about here in a minute. But let me talk about iOS 13. The technology, NFC, the technology that helps Apple power Apple Pay, as well as other features in iOS apps like Launch Center, Pros, tappable stickers, is getting a big upgrade with the launch of iOS 13. Instead of only allowing iPhone apps to read NFC tags, apps will be able to also write directly to blank tags as well as interact with tags through native protocols. Plus, if you have an iPhone XS or an iPhone XR, you don't even have to open an app. Those phones can natively interact with NFC. You just hover them near an NFC tag without opening an app, and some action can happen, which we'll talk more about here in just a second. So you can tap to interact with NFC tags on the newer phones, as I just mentioned. And to give some examples of how this could work in your life, developer Steve Moser on Twitter was saying, Apple is working with Bird Scooters, Bonobos. They sell pants, right? Bonobos?
Yeah, I was a little confused by that one in the panoply.
Yeah, that one seemed a little bit odd. Bonobos and Pay by Phone Parking, which is a parking meter company. You've probably seen these things everywhere. On initial rollout of NFC functionality. So imagine you could just go up to a parking meter and just tap your phone and boom, have your parking meter, you know, paid for.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, rather than have to go through all the BS that you currently have to go through, right? Installing an app or putting your credit card into a machine. Also, there's going to be instant enrollment for loyalty cards in Apple Wallet that is also coming. And for the first time ever, iOS apps will be able to natively write to NFC tags, like just common NFC tags that you can get on Amazon or on eBay. And one of the reasons that I'm really excited for this is because I use this little device called an Amiquo that works with my Nintendo Switch and Nintendo products. This is real dorky. This might not make sense to you, Lewis, but for those of you out there that like Nintendo, you might like this news. So Amiquo is a Amiibo emulator. So you can load Amiibo on it with Amiibo that you own, or you can download profiles of Amiibo online, and you can also change their characteristics and stuff. And then you can scan the Amiquo in your various games to unlock the in-game content that those Amiibo that you're replicating would otherwise unlock. So it allows you to store all your Amiibo on one disc and use them without having to have all your Amiibo. But you can also download Amiibo that you haven't purchased and still get that content in-game. Now, some of you might be wondering, is this stealing? I don't really know. I don't really know how to feel about it. Because, I mean, you're not really stealing anything from Nintendo. You're just unlocking content that's already present inside the game. You're just not paying for the Amiibo. So it's not like you download something and like pirating it, at least as far as I can tell. So it's really exciting because with the Amiquo, you it only works with Windows currently, or you need to have an Android phone if you want to write to the Amiquo without a NFC reader. And it's really clumsy to use unless you have an Android phone, which has a specific app that lets you to control what's on the Amiquo. I reached out to the developer a while back and I said, hey, are you guys going to be building an iPhone app? And they said, we can't. iOS doesn't allow NFC control. You can't write to NFC tags inside of the Amiquo, so we just can't do it. So once I saw this NFC support in iOS 13, I said, aha, this might be what I've been waiting for forever. I was thinking about buying an Android phone just so I could write Amiibo information to my Amiquo and to my different Amiibo. And I was thinking about buying an Android phone just to do that, so I could have this Amiquo with all of my Amiibo carried around on this little tiny disc. It's an interesting device, actually. I have both good feelings and not so good feelings about it because of the way it's built. But anyway, I'm not going to do a review on that product here and now. But so NFC could change the way you interact with your Amiibo. And also, there are shortcuts coming. So the iOS 13 shortcuts app has been updated to support automatic, scheduled, and location-based shortcuts, but it's also going to include NFC triggers. So you can have NFC tags around your house and you can create shortcuts that do specific things based upon when you scan those tags. For instance, let's say you're in your kitchen, you put an NFC tag next to your AirPlay radio. You could scan that NFC tag with your phone and it would instantly turn on a podcast that you like and route it to that specific AirPlay speaker, right? So there's all this functionality that you could program in based upon a simple scan on an NFC tag. Use your imagination. I mean, this could be you turning your lights on and off with just scanning an NFC tag. You could activate your blinds, your HomeKit blinds. You'll probably be able to interact with all your different HomeKit devices. Incredibly powerful stuff that you'll be able to do if you really want to dig in. And for people that aren't so nerdy, you'll be able to interact with your loyalty rewards cards much easier and have interactions at stores without having to install apps. So this is all great that they're finally opening this up and allowing developers to interact with NFC, and it's long overdue in my opinion. I thought we had more than that. Is that it? No, I just blended these last two in the same story. We blended these last two together, so that was my fault. That should have been more clear. These are kind of separate things. But there you go. All right, let's see here. Let's talk about iPad OS, Lewis, before we jump into under review. Did you have any opinions when they were showing it on stage? Because I definitely did. And they weren't all positive right away, I'll have to admit. I was a little bit deflated, but what did you think?
Well, I'm not one of these people who uses an iPad for everything, you know, like some of the people on our staff who try to do every single thing on an iPad.
I despise such said people, specifically Charlie Sorrell.
I wasn't going to name any names. Oh, yeah. But, I think giving it more power is a good thing. Making it more useful for people is definitely a good thing. I mean, making it easier to work with files, I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I found a little bit, worrisome, some of those shortcuts looked a little weird. I mean, I'm a little bit like...
You mean the touch shortcuts, like copy, paste?
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll be fine, you know, because, I mean, I guess when I first saw the ones that came with the iPhone 10, I was like, oh, no, new things to learn. I'm sure, they're the best at this, so I'm sure that it'll be just fine. And anything they can do to make it better and smoother is awesome.
I guess for me, it's I realized I was being unfair because when they what they showed was isn't what I wanted, so I was disappointed. What I wanted was a Mac OS, iOS hybrid built for the iPad that allows you to use it more like a Mac. And what they gave us was a iPad version of iOS that tries to mimic useful features in Mac OS. And I was disappointed by that, but the more I started reviewing what's included in iPad OS, it occurred to me, you know what, Big Earth, big, muscular, handsome Earth. This is just V1. This is the first version. And it's going to get better from here. It's going to get more exciting from here. They're going to start customizing iOS to be uniquely iPad OS. And eventually, there are going to be some major differences between the two platforms, and iOS is going to have many more, I should say, iPad OS is going to have many more iPad OS specific features. And then I started getting excited because that's what I wanted ultimately. I wanted Apple to develop an OS natively for the iPad and make use of all the power and all the extra screen real estate and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, those two things you said kind of sound like the same thing.
What two things?
What you wanted and what they delivered. It sounds like kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they kind of gave me what I want, but in a way I didn't want it.
They didn't give it the right name for you.
They didn't give it to me the way I wanted them to give it to me.
And they didn't give it to you all at once.
And they didn't give me everything I wanted right away, right now, because I'm Veruca Salt, and I want it now, Daddy. So let me run through some of the features that I thought were exciting, because there was a lot of great stuff in here. So first of all, this is going to sound pretty lame, but the 9-millisecond pencil response time, that is a huge improvement over what it was. And I haven't tried it myself yet, but I've seen people writing with the pencil in examples, and boy, is it smooth, buttery smooth now. And it was smooth before.
Right.
And you could draw with it and it was acting with your strokes almost instantaneously, accepting your feedback. And I've done a bunch of sketches on my iPad now with the new Apple Pencil. And by the way, I've got a glorious picture of Dr. Disrespect. And that mustache has never looked better. I colored that thing in. It was dark and black and rich. It was the best the man can get. And I did that all with my Apple Pencil. To have a faster response time, huge, huge improvements. Access to USB drives, SD cards, and hard drives, of course. This is huge, huge, huge. This is something that we've been asking for forever. So now when you connect a USB drive, an SD card, or a hard drive, it just pops up as a drive in Files, and you can just interact with all the files right there. Imagine if you're going on a trip or something, you can now store movies on a USB key and take those with you. So you're not forced into buying the iPad with more storage. In fact, if iOS 13 had been announced when I bought my iPad, I would have gone for the model with lower storage. No. Because why wouldn't you, right?
Unless
you absolutely need to get the higher storage amount, if you're a professional doing video editing or something, and if you're a professional doing video editing, why are you working on an iPad? But now you can just take movies with you on the zip drive. Do you disagree, Lewis?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think it's awesome. I don't know that I would not get plenty of storage, but...
Okay. Well, you're wrong, but that's your rights.
I just like to have enough storage. I don't like when things start slowing down and you start having to make decisions about what you're going to delete. I don't like any of that.
No, I know what you mean. I got the 1 terabyte MacBook Pro. Maybe. I mean, I have a little meter at the top of my menu bar that shows me how much hard drive space is left. And it greatly satisfies me when I see it at like 35%.
Yeah. It's a good feeling.
And it's a great feeling. I don't know why it makes a difference, but I just like knowing that most of my hard drive is free. It just makes me feel good. It's one of those, tech boy problems.
Treat yourself.
treat yourself. Get the 1 terabyte. You also have zip support now. So you can select files and zip them on the iPad and share them. And you can unzip files and interact with the files inside of the zip package. You can connect to file servers at work or at home. You can connect to a PC server using SMB and interact with those files. You can check the status of a file you're downloading, access downloaded files now, and drag and drop files that you've downloaded into emails. So you have the download manager. You have Sidecar, which is the functionality that allows you to mirror your Mac screen on the iPad or extend your desktop. So you have like a second screen. And one of the other parts of the functionality that's really cool is you can actually interact with apps on your iPad and have that information transmitted back to your Mac. So let's say you are trying to sign a PDF or something. You can interact via Sidecar with the PDF on your iPad, use a pencil to like fill it out and sign it, and then the file is on your Mac still. How cool is that? You can also do the same thing in Photoshop. So you can interact artistically with different files that you're using. You can draw and stuff on the Photoshop app and then have those changes reflected in your file on your Mac. So very, very powerful functionality there, even more powerful than I originally thought. Let's see here. It's much easier to move the cursor inside of text apps now. They've added all this new...
That's right.
It is. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be right?
No, I mean, I hope it really is...
You hope it works?
Yeah. Because that's one of the things that I find most annoying about using the iPad is, you know, except what do? I edit text, right? And...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
How dare you? We'll talk about this after the show.
No, I've done it.
Where's your car antenna? Get it for me. Yeah, they've added a bunch of really powerful features for people that primarily use the text editor on their iPad. They added new touch shortcuts for copy and paste. They added new tap interactions. So now if you want to highlight a word, you can double tap it. If you want to highlight a sentence, I think you triple tap it. And then if you want to highlight a whole paragraph, you can like quadruple tap a word. There's all sorts of interactivity inside of iPadOS that they've added to make it easier to actually, you know, work within text documents and create text documentation and stuff.
Tossing very, very paragraphs powerful stuff. Around. I remember seeing that. It did look pretty smooth.
Very, very smooth. Also, they've revamped Safari so it delivers desktop-grade sites and experiences to you instead of mobile versions. Now, this is something I kind of wrote off when they initially announced it on stage. I was like, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. But then I started reading about how much work had to go into this because you got to think, you're not using a keyboard and mouse. You're using touch interaction, and desktop websites are not built for touch interaction. There's different ways of interacting on a computer than you would on an iPad, and Apple had to figure out how to translate touch into specific type of actions that would normally be relegated to clicking with a mouse. Like, for example, are you clicking something, or are you trying to hover, or you're trying to select something, right, on a website? Mm-hmm. Well, how do you do that when you're touching it? So Apple is using heuristics and algorithms to figure out exactly how you're trying to interact with this website. And so you're getting the full desktop experience on your iPad, which is really cool because everyone prefers the full desktop site to a mobile site, right? Mobile sites are generally not as full featured. It also means that desktop grade apps like Gmail are going to work normally on your iPad now, as opposed to having some gimped mobile version that totally sucks. And actually, I was reading that a lot of people are saying that the desktop experience of Gmail is even better than the Gmail app because that's the one that they keep updated the most. That's the one they update the most because that's the one the most people are using. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Roger that. Okay.
Yes.
And now here's the last one I wanted to mention. And as a gamer, as a lifelong gamer, an OG gamer, you get the Xbox and PlayStation controller support. Now they mentioned that the support was coming to tvOS. It's also coming to iPadOS. Just think about this. You have Apple Arcade coming, right? And when they originally announced Apple Arcade, I didn't know the full picture. I was like, okay, you know, mobile games, you know, okay. Not that exciting to me. But here you have a computer that's more powerful than a Nintendo Switch, that has a better screen than a Nintendo Switch. It has a Retina display. It's larger. And now you can connect it to your PlayStation 4 controller, to your Xbox controller, and you can play full-fledged games on your iPad. It's a full-on mobile gaming device now. Now, of course, we have to wait to see what games are included in Apple Arcade, but having a mobile gaming experience that's that powerful with that big and beautiful of a display, I think it's pretty compelling. And honestly, I'm really looking forward to see how this plays out. No one wants to play touch-based mobile games. No serious gamer worth his gamer tag is going to play be caught dead playing mobile games. That's why people buy the Nintendo Switch. They can take real gaming experiences on the road with them. And now you can do it with your iPad. That's pretty gosh darn cool. Wouldn't you say, Lewis?
If you say so. I'm going to have to take your word on this.
Are you going to become a gamer boy now like me?
No.
So I can show you the ropes.
So you're going to just set it on a stand or something and play? Set it on your desk and play?
Yeah, you just get like the Apple Folio or get one of the fake ones that I bought on eBay for $16 that is probably going to fall apart in a year and a half. But damn, it's good now. It works great. And it just props up your iPad. And then you bust out your PlayStation controller, your Xbox controller, and you're good to go.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially with that $9.99 mobile gaming experience or
subscription fee.
Subscription, thank you, that they have upcoming. Because one of the problems, here's one of the oddities, tangent before we move on to under review. Here's one of the oddities with mobile gaming is developers don't want to create games for those platforms because no one wants to buy them. It's so odd to me. And this affects me as well, too. I would never spend $60 on a iOS game, but I would do that on my Nintendo Switch, and they essentially are giving me the same thing, a mobile gaming experience, right? Mm-hmm. And now that Apple is bringing controller support to tvOS and iPad, you can have the mobile experience like you can on the Switch, and you can also have the TV experience with your Apple TV. So it's kind of similar, but yet on one platform, I'm willing to buy a $60 game. On another, I would never spend more than $5. And Apple Arcade solves that problem. You're paying them however much they're charging for it a month. And they didn't even announce the pricing, did they? I don't think they did.
It was $9.99, wasn't it? Or is that just speculation?
They've announced so many subscription services. I think that was just speculation. I don't think they actually said how much it was going to cost. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But it's a smart move by Apple because now you just pay $10 a month and you get access to all these games. Okay, let me take a swig of water. Got to wet the whistle. You ready?
Ooh. Sounds wet.
Sorry, I got an ice cube. Very wet. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling refreshed. I got an ice cube in my mouth. Can you hear me crunching it?
Yeah.
I think we should dive into an all new under review, Lewis. What do you think?
It's that time.
It's that time. We haven't done this in forever because there's been so much Apple news to talk about. But I think I should go first because my review is going to lead into something. And then you can wrap us up, maybe. How's that sound? Or maybe we can have our special guest wrap us up. But why don't I go first? So This is a product I have talked about before, but I wanted to follow up because I've been using it much more now. And it's a product that I'm using right at this very moment to record this podcast. This is called the Rodecaster from Rode Microphones. It is a podcasting mixer, and there is nothing else like it on the market. Did I talk about this on a previous show? I think I did.
Yeah.
Okay. But at that time, I didn't have very much experience with it, so I'm going to talk more about it, and then I'm going to demonstrate one of its talents right here live for the first time that I've ever used it on this show, which, as I mentioned before, violates my cardinal rule. I'm using a new piece of gear during a live show, which is a horrendous idea, but we're going to try it. So the Rodecaster, it is a four-channel, well, actually, it's a seven-channel mixer. So it allows you to record up to four people in the same room, and you can add in other people via the other channels, which I'll talk about here in a moment. So you can record people in real person or in real time. You can use it to make Skype calls and record those calls. And it has all this functionality built in. First of all, it has a touch screen that's very, very responsive that you can use to control different attributes of different channels. It has sliders that you can use to control the volumes for all your different independent channels. It has four different headphone jacks. So all your different guests that are in the room with you can hear the mix and hear what's going on at the same time. You can control all their volumes independently of each other. You can provide single channel phantom power to all the different XLR microphone ports, of which there are four. It also has a built-in effects board, which I've demonstrated here in the past, haven't I? Lewis. I think I used this one maybe a couple times.
Yeah, baby.
It's not Leander. You are here. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the back of the show.
Sounding healthy.
He's sounding healthier than he said. So it has an eight pad audio effects board that you can program and just hit a pad and initiate one of these sound effects. It has soloing, so you could solo different channels. It has muting, so you can mute different channels. It also records. It has a giant record button. You can put in a micro SD card slot, and you can record your podcast that you're recording in person or with someone who is online. And you can do stereo recording, so you can record a channel that has the entire mix of everything that you're doing. And they finally added multi-track recording to both USB, so you can record multi-track to, like, say, Logic, but also to the SD, to the micro SD card slot, which is something that I was waiting for forever, and I could not believe they launched without it, and then finally they added it. This board is one of the most talented products, one of the most unique products that I've reviewed in years. I'm extremely impressed with it, and it has another talent that I'm going to talk about here in just a moment, but I do want to mention one of the downsides. Well, I take that back. It's not a downside. I was having a problem with this board that was kind of scary. It was eating my audio files. So I was using it to record podcasts, and I would go listen to the podcast later, and the audio was foobarred, completely unusable, which is terrifying. It's like a content creator's worst nightmare, right?
Yeah.
And so I reached out to Rode, and I said, you guys got to help me figure out what's going on with this thing. It's eating my audio files. And Rode, I worked with them before. They're a great company. In fact, I should mention, they've sponsored our podcast with products before. I don't think that really affects my impression of this product. But, you know, I fully admit, I think that when you are working with a company and they've given you free products, it does, it warms your opinions of them and of their products. So, you know, full disclosure. But they worked with me and they said, we think this might be an SD card problem, but it also could be a firmware problem. And so they were helping me try to figure out what's going on. And they said, we think it's a firmware problem. They gave me new firmware and I installed the firmware and I have not had the problem since. So it seems like it's resolved. It seemed like they were right. It was just some strange firmware problem. And they actually rolled out this fix to all users in case anyone else experiences it. But it seemed to be somewhat rare, and I just happened to be one of the people who was getting it. But, you know, once a product messes up one of your recordings, you're kind of leery after that point. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I've done probably 20 or so real and test recordings since installing the new firmware and have had zero problems, not a single one. And before, I was experiencing the problem almost every single time I tried to record something. So, you know, there you go. That was the only problem I've had with this board and with this mixer. And other than that, I absolutely love it. One other feature that it has that makes this unique is it allows you to connect to your phone. So you could bring in audio from your phone and play music from Spotify or something, but it also connects via Bluetooth. So you can hardwire it in, or you can make calls or send audio to the mixer via Bluetooth, which is totally unique. And I'm going to demonstrate that for the first time right now. I have never actually used this feature. I don't know if I'm going to be using it correctly, but should we give it a go and bring in our next
special guest?
Yeah, I'm trying to yeah,
you're trying to do something and
I'm trying to do something and
talk and with talk the switch at the
same time, and it's just not working. So let's see here. Here we go. Here we go.
Hey-o!
Oh, who's this?
Oh, this is just Buster.
Oh, it's just Buster. We thought you were dead Heiny. Buster, naked in the desert Heiny. Ladies and gentlemen, you thought he was gone. You thought he was dead. I thought he was dead. But here he is on a phone.
Yeah.
Lewis, can you hear him?
Yes, I can.
Oh, my. It worked perfectly the first time.
It's working great.
This is, nice. This is unbelievable. So, Buster, I'm giving people my under review spiel about this new Rodecaster mixer that I've been using.
Oh, nice. Does it work well?
Dude, it's working perfectly. And one of the features that I've never tested is the call functionality. So I figured I'd give it a shot here, you know, live on the show, which is always a great idea, right? And
yeah, worked out. Good job, Broadcaster.
Yeah, and so this mixer allows you to bring in live callers from your phone, which nothing else.
That would be fun to do on the show someday.
Exactly. And plus, you know, Buster has had, shall we say, problems accessing internet reliably. And,
yeah, probably.
And now we can just call you in if we need to. And, you know, it sounds like you're on a phone, but at least you're here.
Yeah, at least it's not the full show.
Yeah,
we can just... Is it really loud in the background?
Can I hear the background noise?
Yeah.
No, I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, iPhone's pretty good at eliminating background noise. So, just a huge amount of talents built into one board. This thing is $600, but if you're thinking about podcasting... Oh, actually, let me back up and mention one other thing. The preamps on this board are surprisingly good. That's one of the things I am always a stickler on, is the preamps have to sound good. And that's often where companies will cheap out a little bit, because good preamps are expensive. And the preamps on this board, they sound warm. They sound inviting. I was to say I was shocked is really not an understatement. I was actually shocked at how good they sound, because this unit is only $600, and my other mixer is $900, and it doesn't do as much as this board does. And so I thought, okay, surely they had to have cheaped out on the preamps. The preamps, I honestly, they sound great. I don't know what else to say about them. They sound way better than I thought that they would, and you get all that talent mixed in with all the other things I already mentioned. How do you feel about this product so far, Leander Caney?
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
Sealed
approval. What else can you say? And the fact that I just brought you in, Buster, and you can hear Lewis, and Lewis, you can hear Buster, this is actually pretty amazing that we're doing this right
now. Yeah, I figured that wouldn't work right off the bat, you know?
Me either. I told Lewis that the odds were that one of us was going to have to remain silent so that you wouldn't hear an echo or something throughout the entire rest of the episode. But anyway, the Rodecaster by Rode, a fabulous product, if I do say so myself. And if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I highly recommend you check it out. I know it's a little expensive. It's $600, but this thing does everything that you need it to do and more. It's really it's really unique and well worth the money, I think. Buster, where are you at these days?
See, I'm at Lake Tahoe, sunny Lake Tahoe. Best place to be at in the summer.
How long have you been there?
Probably like 2 weeks now.
Oh my gosh, you are just living the dream.
I know.
Now tell me this: on a scale of 1 to 5, where 5 is just as dark and buttery as it gets, what's the tan level in those areolas?
Oh, you know, they're pretty like a 3. You know, I haven't been in the Nips out too often.
Oh,
we're working
man.
On it, though.
You got to start using that banana boat butter.
Yeah.
You got to get out there, dude. What are you doing? A 3? I thought you'd be at like a 6 by now.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, I've been hot springing, but that usually happens at night, usually.
Oh, and so your shirt's on during the day.
Yeah.
Got it. You well, know, that makes all the difference.
Can't be a total hobo person all the time.
All right, dude. Well, we brought you on not only because we love to hear the rich sound of your voice, and because it's been so long, and I honestly wasn't sure if you were going to answer or if like a close family friend was going to answer and say, yeah, Buster has been dead for weeks now. But you've been reviewing a product, a very expensive product, I might add. And, and go ahead and tell us what you've been reviewing.
I've been reviewing the Nikon Z6. Probably the sexiest camera I've ever gotten to play with. I mean, there are, of course, way more higher-end cameras, but this is Nikon's like first full-frame mirrorless camera, and man, it's just a beaut. It's been amazing. Let's see, 24 megapixels. But so the body is probably like my favorite part about it. So if you don't know like what a mirrorless camera is, it's just DSLRs like. They have a mirror in them to take the pictures, but these ones don't. And so it just has a smaller body than a normal. And so I think it's pretty comparable to like the Nikon D850 as far as like all the specs and the body
goes.
Wow,
really? That's a serious camera.
Yeah, but just in a smaller more compact frame, but like the build is still so good because most other mirrorless cameras, they kind of feel like really small and toyish, and that's also what you want out of it, but they just almost feel too small at this point. But this one's like great. It's probably my favorite camera that I've ever tested. I've used a couple Nikons and Sonys in the past, but this one's really good. The autofocus is amazing. It's got this insanely bright viewfinder that's actually a pain because it's so bright that I underexpose all my pictures. So that's good. Also, it allows for, this is pretty cool if you're like really into photography, like it's got a wider base for something for the lenses. So it enables like a f0.9 lens.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
that's mega
cool.
Shallow.
Yeah, insane. Like, that's like, I don't even know if somebody makes that lens yet or if it's coming or what, but it's possible. Yeah, great camera. Best part about it is it's buster proof so far.
No, it survived. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so far I've had it, I think, for 3 months. Nikon definitely wants it back. And I haven't had the heart to tell them that I dunked it in Shasta Lake one night. I was trying to take really sexy night shots, long exposures, which it had, like, its ISO is so amazing without having a ton of noise, and like the color on is great. But anyway, I knocked over the tripod that was in the lake like an idiot. And then, but I fished it out within like 5 seconds, let that puppy dry, and she's pretty much totally fine. Other than there's some scratches on the lens. So
other than that, she's Jerry.
And, you know, one small electrical issue with the battery, but that's fine. It totally works great. Still takes amazing pictures, which honestly, for like a DSLR to survive like 3 weeks of me on the road living like and taking pictures almost every day with it or every night, you know, pretty dang sturdy. So I think if you're looking for a DSLR where you like can beat up a little, I would say that's the best feature so far.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that it survived that crash. That's truly amazing. I can't believe it survived that.
I was so bummed because I kind of just asked me like when I was sending it back, and I was like, oh, I want to do some night shots if that's cool. And like the next day, like dug it in the lake. It was
oh
like,
oh my gosh.
I let it dry for like 3 days, like didn't touch it.
And is there any water inside the lens or anything?
There was at first, like the first day there was a little bit of moisture in the lens, and then like I just let it sit in the sun for 3 days straight and everything evaporated. But also Nikon's great on repairs. Like I've had other cameras break and you can send them in, and they actually have a pretty good repair system compared to like Sony. And I don't know how Canon's is, but
Canon's is pretty good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could probably open up the lens and like just clear the whole thing out, wipe it out and stuff. You guys would not believe how expensive that optical grade glass is that they use in those lenses. So they build them so they can go in there and repair them and stuff.
Yeah. Which I've had one lens before, like 5 years ago, I dropped another, like a D610 into a pool and broke it, but they were able to fix the lens at least. The body was totally screwed, but.
Was that the same camera and lens that you dropped in and broke? Or is that, how many DSLRs have you dropped in a lake?
Yeah, that was the only other one. That was the only other one.
Okay.
Where I was trying to take like some long exposure waterfall pictures and just knock it over into like the pool where the waterfall was. And yeah, it was a goner.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, hopefully they don't notice that there's a goldfish floating inside the lens when you return that.
Dude, it makes for some really, you know, interesting imagery when you got some fish scales in there.
Yeah, just tell them you were doing some underwater photography. You didn't realize that wasn't a feature.
Oh, it's not totally waterproof? Oh, that's weird. My iPhone is now.
Yeah, right. I mean, your iPhone is. How could my DSLR not be?
Yeah, I pitched it as an iPhone comparison post. So,
how much is this mega fancy camera?
Oh, dude. I think the body now is like 1800, and then with the kit lens is 2500.
Lens is 2500?
No, with the kit lens, it's like that package is like 25 or 24. I'm not sure exactly. There's probably some other deals.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's almost, it's like 6 months, 8 months, 9 months old now. So, yeah. But, you know, some of the improvements that they've had, it's, like, pretty crazy. They also have the Z7, which is, like, its sister, only way higher resolution, but it's not as fast. And I use it a lot for cliff jumping stuff, so it's great that it's way faster. And also it does a 10-bit video, so that's good, too.
It does 10-bit video. Whoa.
Yeah. I can't remember what the – I think it just says 4K 30 instead of 4K 60, but I might be wrong on that. But, yeah, it does 10-bit video, which is really nice.
Yeah, 10-bit and makes HDR. A huge difference. And it has HDR video, too. Yeah, I've been hearing some people talk about the video features for that camera, and there have been a lot of people who have been impressed. Have you played around with the video very much?
Not enough. I usually use my iPhone for everything video because I have a stabilizer for that. So I don't use it a ton for video, but the few things I have, it's been, like, cool. But, yeah, I can't really say too much on video stuff.
And does it have a flip-out back screen?
It does, but it's one of those ones where it only tilts up. You can't, like, flip it out and
flip
up.
Flip it out and over, okay.
Or over. So that is one thing when you're trying to get, like, really low to the ground shots and stuff. It's just not quite as easy as some other cameras.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard that Canon actually had patented articulating screens that swivel all around like the ones on Canon cameras. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I heard.
So that's why nobody has them.
That's why a lot of cameras don't have them, because they have to pay Canon. Now, again, I don't know if that's true, so, like most of the things I say, just assume that it might not be true. I'm just operating on hearsay. All right, the Nikon Z6. I'm truly envious that they sent you one of those, because I've been wanting to play around with a mirrorless camera, too.
Forever.
Yeah, well, you dropped it in a lake. Just let them know that it's gone forever.
Like, oh, yeah.
you need to change your line from "I dropped it into a lake" to "I dropped it into an active volcano. It's literally gone." I mean, there's just, I do a lot of volcano hiking, and it just, I stepped on some liquid hot magma and it just fell right in. And what can I say? It's gone forever.
Yeah, I'm sure they believe it. I mean, I live a wild life, I guess.
You do live the wildest life of anyone I know. And that's why I love you. And miss you terribly. I'm glad that you came on. Do you need to get going, or do you want to hang out while Lewis does his?
Well, I don't know where the hell my dog went, but as long as I got service, I can hang out.
His phone like tapers off, we can't hear him anymore. Okay, it's gonna be like 4 minutes. Lewis has some wireless charger to.
After a $3,000 camera, this is gonna sound a little bit.
Okay, that's right. Give us something that the people can actually afford, Lewis.
Yeah, well, okay, so I got this thing in, and I actually like it. It's a wireless charger from Choi Tech. Have you heard of this company? Choi Tech?
No, never.
Choi Tech?
Did you say it was Choi, like C-H?
C-H-O-E-T-E-C-H.
Oh. Choi, okay.
I assume that's how it's pronounced. I've seen their stuff different places. I had never, it's like, oh, what's this company? I don't really know. And they said, hey, you want to check this out? Yeah, I'll try out this thing. They have this 5-coil wireless charger. And, obviously it's sort of, positioned as like, you can't get an air power, you can get this. Well, it'll only charge two devices at once, like two iPhones or an iPhone and your AirPods, which that's perfect. But it's, it's like $50 and it charges it fast. And the thing that I really, really like about it, it's, maybe the size, about exactly the size of an iPhone XS. You put that phone on there any which way you want, and it starts charging. You don't have to like sit there and go, "Oh, did I put it exactly right? Oh no!" I get so tired with these these little puck wireless chargers trying to get my phone on there.
Yeah,
and it's like, is it exactly right? No. Sometimes the charging indicator light is not very easy to see. On this one, it's big and really really easy to see, which is awesome. If I wouldn't want it beside my bed because it would blind you, but it's the easiest wireless charger I've ever used. Doesn't overheat. You drop your phone on there, you drop your AirPods on there, any of those things. It's like there's no, you don't have to like search for the sweet spot. It's just there. It just starts, which is what the whole thing is supposed to be about in the first place, right? I mean, you can put your phone there, let it charge, pick it up, use it, just drop it back. You don't have to like stare at it or try to, you know, play Jenga with your phone to get it to start charging. So anyway, that was my first experience with a Choi Tech product. I thought it was great. It looks decent. I mean, it's plastic and kind of a, you know, leatherette kind of a top on it. I mean, it's not going to win a design award. It's not as beautiful as a $1,000 monitor stand, but
it is a beautiful stand.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it gets the job done and makes your life easier. So,
I think I saw this thing on MKBHD's channel and on Lewis Helsentinger's channel this week. That exact same charger. Did you know what I'm talking about? Do you follow either of their channels?
Not religiously. I haven't seen it, but.
Yeah, they were reviewing some charger that could charge your AirPods and your iPhone at the same time, and it was white. Is that the same?
I think that you might be talking about Air Unleashed. That's one that, that'll charge three devices. I got one of those in the test, too. I've only just started messing around with it. And, you know, right off the bat, not as easy to use as the Choi Tech one. You know, I find myself going, oh, geez, how do I get this thing to sit on there just right? That one will charge an Apple Watch. The Choi Tech charger does not charge an Apple Watch. So if that's what you want it for, it's not for you. But if all you want to do is charge an iPhone and AirPods or two iPhones or two AirPods, it's perfect for that. It couldn't be simpler. The five coils make it, they say it makes it efficient. I suppose that's true. What it really makes it is simple to use.
Actually usable.
Not annoying. you know, I'll try out that Air Unleashed one a lot more. I mean, I just got that in, but, and you know, the fact that it'll do the watch is, I guess, a feature, but I mean, so far it seems not as simple as just tossing your phone down. It seems like another thing where you kind of got to make sure you get it in the right spot. And in fact, with the watch, I mean, there's even like a kind of a divot in the middle of the thing where it sits, right? So, I mean, maybe that's necessary. I don't know, but,
Yeah, when it comes to, you know, finagling your phone all around to get it to charge, as a wise sage once said, ain't nobody got time for that.
Is it just me? I mean, have you experienced that?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's why I stick with the wireless charge, or the wired charging for now, because it's just faster and it's easier.
You should check out the Choi Tech, because it's not faster. It's as fast as wireless goes, which isn't as fast as a wired one, but... It's you know, I think it's a quality product.
Well, I do like those. Well, what's up, Buster?
He's being attacked by a Wolverine.
Yeah, he is out in the wilderness, so it's entirely possible. We hear him get like attacked by like a mountain lion or something. I'd feel so bad, but think of the ratings. Oh my gosh. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you say, Lewis?
Sounds like a great move. Let's let Buster get back to protecting himself from the beasts.
Yeah, he's gotta get back in. He's gonna get back in his short shorts and get back into the hot springs. Yeah, it's getting warm out there.
Oh, I already am in my short shorts.
Oh, of course you are. Yeah, what am I thinking? Thanks again to Netgear for supporting this episode. Turn your Wi-Fi up a notch with Netgear's new line of Nighthawk Wi-Fi 6 routers. Whether you're gaming online or watching Netflix in 4K, it's like giving your streaming the VIP treatment. Upgrade your router at netgear.com/Wi-Fi 6. Make your Wi-Fi feel young again. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But of course, if you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we're all on Twitter. I'm at AirFun. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Buster is at BST3R. Wow, I remembered. How good.
Wow.
This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, this one's all yours.
Oh, next time.
You still got it.
I do that okay? It's been a while.
You still
got it. I don't know how you're doing it.
You still got it. In fact, that was better than ever. And I know one thing's for sure. It was better than anything Alex E. Heath is capable of.
Oh, God.
For sure.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm sorry I even brought that up. I just brought the whole show. I can't stand that guy. We'll be right back. Hey, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Let's see here. It's going to come back to me any moment. Oh, that's right. Do you have your recording going, Luis?
I do. It's already at 9.1 megabytes.
Fantastic. Has anyone ever mistaken you for a Luis instead of a Lewis?
All the time.
Really? They call you Luis?
Sure.
Because you kind of seem like you have the air about you of a Luis.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. You're kind of eccentric, you know? See, I think of, when I hear Luis, I think of like a really sultry Latin dancer. The guy who looks unassuming, but then once he gets out on the dance floor, all the ladies are impressed.
Huh.
Like, you see him there, and he's got his shirt, like, halfway buttoned down. Mm-hmm. And you're like, who's this guy? Like, what does he think he's doing? And then, the music starts, and all of a sudden, he's got a rose in his teeth. And all the ladies want to dance with him.
Very cinematic.
And you're like, what's the deal with those sequins all over his collar? But then he dances, and it's like, damn, he pulled it off. What can I say? The guy pulled it off.